You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to John, the third chapter, Gospel of John, chapter 3. We started a couple weeks ago a series on salvation, our salvation series, our common salvation, that we ought to contend for the faith, Jews said. And he said, I want to write to you about our common salvation. And just the process of being saved. I know you know it. I know it. We're saved. But we need to remind ourselves and go over and over and over. You know, sometimes I'll just take just days and write scriptures down on I'm saved. You know, I'll do confessions on I'm healed. I'll do confessions on I'm prosperous. And I'll force myself, you know, on pieces of paper, whatever I'm doing. If I do Sudoku, which is a little number puzzle thing, I'll just write scriptures on top of it. I won't do a puzzle without writing a scripture. And then making it personal, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believed in him not perish, but have everlasting life. I put, God so loved me, he sent his Son, I believe in Jesus, I will not perish, I have eternal life, I am saved. And I'll just take time to write that, then I'll solve my Sudoku. And if I do another one, I got to write another scripture down, you know. And it might be, I might be meditating on healing 1 month or salvation 1 month or prosperity 1 month. But I just purposely just list scripture after scripture, all the different scriptures I can think of on that subject. And then I'll write them out and then I'll just make it personal. Because if you don't make this personal, it's not going to help you. You know, if Jesus had died for the world in general and you never become one of those whosoever that believe on him, then Jesus died in the world for general is not going to help you until you connect, until you make it personal, you know. And that's what salvation is. Salvation is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's personally receiving what he offers to you. It's taking the hand that's being held out to you. It's stopping and laying down your arms of rebellion and quit running from the hound of heaven and let him catch up. Because he's after you. He's after one of us to bless us, to help us, amen, to take us to heaven. Praise God. And, you know, last week we kind of went in detail on the story of salvation and how, you know, how that it's an old story, but it's a necessary thing. Jesus had to come and die for our sins. You could never be good enough to go to heaven. None of us are that good. None of us are that talented. None of us have that kind of money. Are you out there? We couldn't buy our way into it. We couldn't work our way into it. We can't earn our way into it. We're just not that good. The problem with mankind was mankind went into sin when Adam sinned. It's an old story, but it's there. It's all in the Bible. It's all in Genesis. If you take the time to read it, it explains it in great detail. When Adam sinned, the whole race was doomed in him. And everybody was born into a doomed race. That's the problem with all of mankind. You know, the problem with the world is not all the sin we're committing or all the good we're doing. You know, the problem is that we are who we are. The problem is we are lost, a lost race. We are a doomed race. Ever since Adam sinned, that's the way it's been. It's called the law of like kinds. It's a simple matter of DNA, spiritually speaking. You know, if you have cows, it's an amazing thing. If you have enough cows, you have male and female cows, you'll finally have calves. And they'll grow up to be cows. That's called like kinds. And if you have dogs, and you have lots of dogs, you have male and female dogs, and you don't get them fixed, you'll wind up having puppies. They grow up to be dogs. And if you're a farmer and you go out and plant a bunch of watermelon seed, won't be long, watermelons will be coming up out of the ground. Now, it's interesting that if you have dogs and have male and female dogs and you got a bunch of them around the house, and you're not likely to produce cats. And if you have cows, you're not likely to go out there one day, there's a herd of cows, and all of a sudden there's this elephant walking around. That's just called DNA. That's called law of like kinds. That started way back in Genesis, you know, where it says everything will bear after its own kind. The seeds will bear after their own kind. It says creeping things creep upon earth, bear after their own kind. And then it says God made man after his own likeness and his own kind, because we were made in the image of God. Then Adam sinned. Well, what else could Adam do but give birth to a lost people? Because he was lost. He can't give birth to save people because he's not saved anymore. And so everybody's born in sin. We're in Adam. All die. That's what the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 15. But it says, it goes on to say, in Christ shall all be made alive. So this is why you and I must be born again. Because you can't be good enough to undo who you are. You can't be, can a leper change his spots? Are you out there? You can't do enough good. You can't go to church enough. You can't give enough. You can't pray enough for people to change who you are. You need to be born again. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. And we know and talked about last week, that's why Jesus had to come. And that's why Jesus had to come from heaven, why God had to become a man and die for our sins. You know, the Old Testament talks about lambs, and they would slay a lamb, and they'd examine the lamb, and it had to be a male without spot and without blemish. And then the priest would take the lamb in and slay the lamb, and take the blood and sprinkle it on the altar and the holiest of holies on the Ark of the Covenant. And for 1 year, the sins of the people were temporarily put aside. And then the next year, they had to find another lamb, a male, without spot, without blemish, and slay that lamb and take that blood and sprinkle it on the altar. And then those sins were, you know, set aside for a year. They never were completely taken care of. Every year they had to redo this. So we see from the law that what God required to get us out of this mess was a male without spot, without blemish. But the law of like kinds doomed us forever because there were no males without spot, without blemish. And all the women said amen. So what God did, God said, you know, this is not going to happen because everybody's born in sin. Everybody since Adam born in sin. Everybody's daddy is Adam and everybody's mother is Eve. Been going on for thousands of years. I will go down there and become a man. And I won't have Adam's sin. And I will die for the people. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus came down, and his mother was Jesus. His mother was Mary, but his father was God. And so he didn't have Adam sin. Hallelujah. And then when he walked the earth, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And when they crucified him, they crucified a male without spot, without blemish. Wow. And he died for our sins. He was spotless and sinless. That's why God had to come. That's why God had to become a man. That's why Jesus had to come in that little manger scene that we celebrate every Christmas. That's why he had to die on the cross. He came to die. He came to die for our sins. Hallelujah. And he rose again. And now he's the firstborn among many brethren, the scripture says. Everybody say first. Not the last. He's the first. Because he had to procure or get salvation for us or pay the price or redeem us, as it were. But now we can all be saved now in Christ. In Adam all die. In Christ all are made alive. Isn't that right? So what we got here is a family. Christianity is not a religion. It's a family. A people have been born again. It's a family of new creations. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are passed away and all things become new. I love it. Amen. Now let's turn to John 3 if you got that. And just look. Let's read along here. This is an interesting story here. Where Nicodemus, in fact, it starts in the first verse, says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Prominent guy and religiously in the Jewish religion and the sect called the Pharisees. It says, this man came to Jesus by night. A lot of speculation on that. I don't know why he did that. Some people say, well, he didn't want to come in daylight because he was a little ashamed. He didn't want anybody to know he came, you know. And that's possible. That's speculation. We don't know that for a fact, but it could be. Could be that he was just so busy that was the only time he had to go see Jesus. We don't know. We don't know. We just know that he came to Jesus by night. And this is pretty important when you think about it. Here's a ruler of the Jews. That actually wants to come to Jesus and listen to what Jesus has to say. That's the kind of impact that Jesus had. You know, the anointing that was upon him was recognized by anybody that had open heart, whether they were a Pharisee, a Sadducee, or anybody. You know, there's always people in every circle that are tender. I don't care what circle it is. You can't group all people together that are CEOs of companies and say they're all bad. You can't group all politicians together, thank God, Betty, and say that they're all bad. You can't group all preachers together and say they're all bad. That's just, all that is just occupational racism is what I'd call it. That's like saying I had a problem with a Mexican, so all Mexicans are bad. Or I had a problem with a white person, all white persons are bad. Or I had a problem with a black person, all black person. Oh, come on, man, everybody's different. That's that in races there's good people and bad people. In occupations there's good people and bad people. Well, I know them. They're Baptist. Oh, you don't know. There's good Baptists and bad Baptists. There's good International Outreach Churchites and bad ones. Are you with me? We're individuals. And so here's this man, obviously a pretty good man. I mean, he came to Jesus to sit down and talk with him. And it says he came by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these signs or miracles that you do unless God is with him. Hallelujah, somebody. This is insight. I like this. Because today, in many churches, if a miracle took place, some other churches would say, you're of the devil if a miracle happened. And if somebody got healed, they'd say, well, that's the devil. But he had enough sense to know that healing comes from God, not from the devil. And that when miracles take place and people get healed and blessed and helped and people are raised from the dead and cripples walk and blind eyes see, that's a sign of God because that's what God does. God does good things. God restores health. He doesn't make people sick. God gives life. He doesn't kill. And here's a religious leader who had enough sense to recognize this. He saw what Jesus did. It made him wonder, wait a minute, man. He's doing all the things that God would do. God must be with him. Look at all he's doing. Maybe he's got something to say. I like that. That's good. You know people by their fruits. Isn't that right? And so he said this. He said, I know you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these signs that you do unless God be with him. And Jesus answered to him and said, I love this. He said, most assuredly, or verily, verily, King James says, most assuredly, of a truth is what that means. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Woo. Are you out there? I remember two Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door one time, years ago, knocked on my door, began to, you know, give me their spill. Had their stack of watchtowers, you know, and they were telling me all about it. And a young guy and an old guy, and they asked me, you know, something about the kingdom. They always bring in the kingdom of God, you know, where dwelleth righteousness, and something about the kingdom. And so I said, oh, let's just stop right here. I said, I know you Jehovah's Witnesses, and I know what you believe, and you know, but I'm a Christian, born again. I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior, filled with the Holy Ghost, and speak in tongues. And so I really don't have, I don't need anything you have. Actually, you need what I have. You don't know the Lord. You need what? Let me ask you some questions. And so I took their Bible and I began to flip through it and show them some scriptures and everything. But when I said I've been born again, this is the first thing they said. Oh, you've been born again, or you're a Baptist. Now thank God for Baptists. Hey, we're pro-Baptists. I thank God for Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostal, Catholic, going right down the list. Christian, you know, churches. And I smiled. I said, well, no, actually, I said, I'm not. But the word born again is a Bible term. In fact, Jesus used it. So I just grabbed their Bible and flipped over there and showed them. And this is what he said. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, listen to that. He didn't say, except a man clean his life up. And obviously, God wants you to live clean and holy. He talks a lot about it. And that's another subject altogether. And you know, I teach on that, too. I believe that. But that's not what saves me, and that's not what saves you. He didn't say, if you would just go take a bath, you'd go to heaven. Are you with me? Or if you just quit beating your wife, you could go there. Or quit beating your husband, or, you know, let's be fair. No, he said, except a man be born again. Well, now, why in the world? What in the world is that? What? Why? Born again? Well, obviously, and I explained it earlier, and I explained it last week, you have to be born again. Because who you are is your problem. Who I am is my problem. I am lost. I need to be saved. The only way I can be saved is to be born again, start this thing over again. And not go back as a person again, not reincarnation. Because in reincarnation, if it were true, and it's not, if reincarnation were true, you just keep being born back in sin again. You just keep being born right back in the same old doomed race again. Are you with me? And he's not talking about that kind of rebirth. He's not talking about reincarnation. He explains that. In fact, let's go on a little further. He said, except a man's born again, unless he's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, he was thinking natural birth, being born again, the same way I was born last time. Well, that wouldn't even help you. That wasn't what Jesus was talking about. He was not talking about being born physically another time. He was talking about, and he explains this later, being born spiritually. We've been born physically, but that's our problem, not our answer. And it wouldn't matter if you were born 100 times physically, you still couldn't get saved. That's not the born again he's talking about. He's talking about being born again a totally different way. Born spiritually, not physically. And so he says this, Nicodemus thinking in the natural, how can I be born a second time? Can I enter the second time my mother's womb and be born again? That's not even possible. Jesus, what are you talking about? Jesus answered, and he said, most assuredly I say to you, unless he's born of the water and of the Spirit. Everybody say water. Water. He's not talking about water baptism there. He's talking about natural birth. Anybody ever had a baby? I better not see a man raise their hand, okay? You know, part of the process when water breaks, not to be crude, but I mean, we know that. When the water breaks, I mean, it's imminent. Okay, the baby is on the way right then when the water breaks. We're born of water in that sense. And so being born of water over and over and over is not going to do it. You've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Y'all see that? Now, he's not talking about water baptism. That's not even the context of what he's talking about. I know some churches say that, but it's very plain as he goes on, sixth verse, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So in the fifth verse, he's talking about two births. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, two births, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Sixth verse, he's talking about two births. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So water birth is spirit, flesh birth. It's being born in the natural. It's natural birth. Entering the second time into your mother's womb is not going to help you, because you've got to be born of the Spirit. Hallelujah, somebody. You got to be born again to not only see the kingdom, but to enter the kingdom. He said it two ways. I think that's significant. He says, to man, be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Then he goes on, he says, lest the man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Hallelujah. So the born again, the term born again is a biblical term. It's a Jesus term. You know, instead of saying, well, you must be a Baptist or International Outreach Church out or whatever, we ought to say, oh, you must be a Jesus person. Because that's what Jesus said. Amen? Born again is a biblical term, a Jesus term. And it really solves the problem. It really solves the dilemma that we are all in. Because you can't work enough. You can't do enough good. You can't repent enough. You can't pray for enough people. You can't go to church enough. You can't read your Bible enough. You can't take enough baths. You can't put enough deodorant on. You cannot do anything ever. I don't care how much, how hard you work at it. You could never be saved by any of those things that you do. If Jesus hadn't died for your sins and you never called on him and you never were born again, you cannot go to heaven. But the fact is, he did pay the price, and he did come, and he did die, and he did rise again. He did make the offer, and his hands are extended, and he is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He's waiting on you to come, waiting on you to receive, waiting on you to accept what he did. So when we get to heaven, we'll be praising God for our salvation, not ourselves. We won't be picking up a check that we earned. We'll be thanking heaven for the grace and the love of God and the mercy of God that made available for us something that we could never do. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank God for the new birth. Amen? So plainly he says here concerning salvation, and the heaven, getting into the kingdom, there's only one way to get there, and you can join all the churches in the world, that won't save you. You have to be born again. You have to be born not only in the natural, flesh, that's your start, and that also is your problem. But you've got to be born in the Spirit. And that's your answer. Hallelujah. That's your redemption, your hope. Hallelujah. And he says that in 6th verse, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. And he says, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from where it goes, so is everyone who's born of the Spirit. I don't look any different than someone that's not born of the Spirit. But I tell you, there should be a difference in the way I talk and the way I walk and the way I act or something. The wind blows, we feel it. We don't know, you know, where it comes from, but it's there, the effect of it, the fruit of it. You know, not all, but we ought to bear fruit. We ought to be different than the world in that sense because we are born again. We should think different. We should act different. We should, well, all kinds of different things. Amen? Careful, get in trouble. You know, sometimes I catch myself. I better not say that. No, they wouldn't get that. But anyway, we should, our choices should be more godly and scriptural. Amen? Our choices should be in line with who we are, Christians, and not what the world does. The world has all kinds of ideals of what they think is right, but we're Christians. We're not the world. We're in it. We love people. We don't hate people that are in the world. I don't hate people that sin. I don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate adulterers. I don't hate liars. Are you with me? I don't hate them. I hate that sin. I hate that sin. And I don't live that way. And if I do, I could do it. I just repent and get right. God still loves me if I repent, but I'm not supposed to live like that. I'm not supposed to spend my life trying to get to you and get revenge and lie to you and manipulate you. Are you with me? That's just wrong. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Those things don't make me a Christian. They're pretty good evidence and sign that I am Christian. Jesus said you'll know them by their love. Amen? And you'll know them by their fruits. So these things show Jesus to the world, but they don't save me. You know, the word Christian means someone who's accepted Christ. The word Christian doesn't mean good. So sometimes we say that, you know, if we do something good, we'll say that's the Christian thing to do. I understand that as a Christian we should do good things. But we already have a word for good. It's called good. If we're not careful, really, if we're not careful, well, sometimes we'll cheapen the word. We'll kind of make it out to think, the world to think that if I'm good, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm an American. Got to be a Christian. You know, or if I'm good, I'm a Christian. No, Christian has nothing to do with being good. Christian has to do with what you believe. It has to do with whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not. Now, as a Christian, you should do good, and you should live better, and you should forgive, and you should love, and all those things. But how do you know, even as a Christian, sometimes you don't do that? And you need to repent, and you feel bad about it, and you should. But that didn't make you a Christian because you repented. You were a Christian because you believed in Jesus. Y'all out there. Man, this is exciting. Y'all just about to jump off. Just slow down. Hold on. Come on, y'all interrupted me. Let me finish my message here. All these amens and hallelujahs are just making me nervous. But if you think of the difference between the world and the church, what's the dividing line? Is it a holy line? No, it's not a holy line. It's a faith line. They don't believe, we do believe. It's not a moral line even. It is a line of belief. I have believed on Jesus, they have not believed on Jesus. There are people that don't believe on Jesus that live moral lives. There's a lot of them that don't, stay with me. But there's people that we would say are good, that do good things, and they're fairly nice people that don't believe in Jesus. You can meet them from all different kinds of religions even. Well, they're okay. Well, no, they're not okay. Because what makes us saved is not the good things we do. What makes us saved is believing on Jesus, being born again. Y'all get that? Okay, so that's what's happened to us. Now, when we talk about our salvation, our common salvation, don't get that confused with holy living. We need to live holy, and that's a teaching, but that doesn't save me. I'm not coming to church so I can go to heaven. I'm not reading my Bible so I can go to heaven. I'm not praying so I can go to heaven. I'm not being nice and not beating my wife so I can go to heaven. Actually, just, I'm afraid of her. I'm afraid she'll beat me back. But no, that's not true. Stay with me. I do my best to live right, to be an example, and to be a representative. I'm not trying to impress anybody, but I am trying to represent someone here. Amen? And I don't want to affect your faith by living wrong and by lying and stealing and cheating and all those kinds of things. By God forbid, your pastor would bring a shame and a mark on the church and you'd hang your head when my name would be mentioned. That's terrible. It'd be a terrible thing. I live right because it's the right thing to do because it shows Jesus to the world. And it helps you serve God because someone else is serving them. You should serve God the same way. So your kids will see it and your grandchildren will see it. Are you with me? not to be saved. You can't be good enough to be saved. You ought to live right because the world's going to hell and they need to see Jesus. That's why. They need Jesus just like you got Jesus. They need to see Jesus in you. They need to see it in me. I'm not doing this to be saved. I am saved. I've been born again. Born again. Hey, turn to John 1, talking about being born again. We're in John. Let's turn to John, the first chapter. Notice what it says here. And y'all get anything out of this now? Okay, I know it's simple. This is Salvation 101, but, you know, sometimes we need to remind ourselves of it and go over and over it, because there is a world out there going to hell that needs Jesus as Lord and Savior. If we're not careful, we'll get kind of complacent, and we don't witness, and we don't tell people about the Lord, and we think they're pretty good people, and they're okay. But, you know, nobody's okay without the Lord. Everybody needs Jesus. And God has made himself available to everybody. Everybody can be saved if they'll come to Jesus, but they got to hear about him. You and I need to share him, amen, and talk about him. And we need to talk about why we're saved, because we believe on Jesus, because we trusted Jesus, because we call on Jesus, hallelujah. John 1st chapter, notice what it says in the 11th verse. Speaking of Jesus, if that whole chapter goes on down, it's talking about the Lord, starts out in the first verse talking about Jesus. The 11th verse says, he came into his own, the Jews, and his own, the Jews, did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. They were born of God. So here we got being born again. How are we born again? We're born again by believing on Jesus Christ, by believing on the name of Jesus Christ. Y'all see that? So if that's our answer, I got to be born again. Well, what does it take to be born again? Well, I got to quit smoking. No, didn't say that. Although you ought to quit smoking. Go around smelling up the place everywhere you go. I mean, stay with me, and I'm not, I love you, and don't get mad at me. But smoking doesn't send you to hell. Not smoking doesn't get you to heaven. A lot of things we do may be offensive. They may not be good for our body. And we ought to, you know what? We ought to quit smoking because it's not good for our body. I'll tell you, bottom line. Okay? But if you're saying someone's a bad person because they smoke, oh, come on. You're bad because you lost. You're good because you saved. All right. Come on. I ain't made anybody mad, have I? You just can't, you know, I could talk about Starbucks coffee, which I'm about to quit anyway. I've got a little money left on my card, and with my card, I've got already money on it, and it's when I use it up, I'm going to quit Starbucks coffee. They've come out as a company now to support gay marriage. Not as a person, not as a CEO, but they want a company statement now they're supporting gay marriage. And they actually made a statement that, you know, if you wanted to make money somewhere else and it bothers you that they're making a statement about gay marriage, you're welcome to go buy stock somewhere else. So, you know, if they as a company can make a stand, it's America, you can say whatever you want to, then I as a customer can make a stand too. You know? And so I've already spent the money. I'm not going to doubly bless them by not using up the money on my card. Well, I mean, really, if I say, oh, I'm not going in there now. Well, I got money on my card, man. That's free money for them if I don't spend it. So I'm going to spend it, and listen, hey, there's employees there that believe in traditional marriage. That's not, how do you make a statement for a company? I don't understand that. I don't know how you can make a company statement. You got all kinds of people work for you. You got some gays that work for Starbucks. You got some for pro-gay marriage. You got some against it. You got some Christians that are for traditional marriage, and you're going to make a statement for the whole company. I don't know how in the world you do something like that. That doesn't even make sense to me. But they've come out very bold about it. It's all over the news, you know, and hey, I have one allegiance, and that's to God. Boy, I tell you what, I'm being persecuted. This is a sacrifice for me. It's like being burned at the stake stopping Starbucks. I'm not going to kid you. But just not, it's black and white for me. It's no choice. It's just, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to support someone that just openly, as a company, supports gay marriage. Am I against gay people? No. We love them. If they'll repent and come to Jesus, they can be saved. But marriage is something God started. It's something that God defined. It happens to be in the Bible. It's been in there for years. It's not what you say it is. It's not what I say it is. It's not what the world says it is. It is what God says it is. Are you with me? And you know what? I believe in traditional marriage. I believe it's between a man and a woman. I believe in the Garden of Eden was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Are you with me? Okay, so, how to get off on that? I don't know. Anyway, but having said all that, you know, if a gay person repents and starts living straight, that's not going to save them. If an adulterer quits committing adultery and, you know, and gets right, that don't save them. The only way you can be saved is accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Woo! It's getting quieter and quieter and quieter. So we got to be born again. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Got to be born again. And how are you born again? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read it again. As many, 12th verse, first chapter, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. Believe on Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Who were born now. Now he's talking about a new birth. Not of blood. No, we're not talking about blood birth. Not of the will of flesh. Not a flesh birth. Not a natural birth. Not a water birth. Nor of the will of man. Not a man thing. Salvation is not a man thing. But we're born of God. Hallelujah. This is a God thing. And it comes when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Woo! Hallelujah. So except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born from above. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit My flesh didn't change one bit, didn't look any different the day after I got saved. Because my flesh wasn't born again. My spirit was born again. It happened when I called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in May of 1975 in Chateau Creole Apartments on Red Bluff Road in Pasadena, Texas. That's when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never been the same since. That's really my birthday. So if you want to know the truth, I'm only what? How old am I? 37? 36? 37? Yeah. Just going on 37 years old. Woo! Hallelujah. I like it. I like it. Turn to 1 John. Are you out there? Well, it's the truth. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You can argue with the Bible if you want to. I was born again in May of 1975. I've been a new creature ever since. Hallelujah. Notice what it says here, and I'll wrap this up, because we could just go on and on. You know, there's a lot of scriptures on salvation, and you think of, I didn't even read John 3:16. We were there in the third chapter, but I quoted it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I love that. He goes on, 17 verse, he says, for he sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. See, our job as the church is not to go out and blast everybody in sin. That's not what we're about. I stand up for righteousness and holiness and for what is right, and I'll always stand up and I'll always be a voice, no matter what the government says. I will always say that homosexuality is a sin. Are you with me? I will always say that because the Bible says that. But I'll never say it with hate in my heart. I'll never say it with bitterness toward anybody that's in that sin. See, what's popular doesn't define what's truth and what's right and what's wrong. The Bible tells us what's right and what's wrong. And you have to be bold enough and in love stand up for what's right and what's wrong. Because the world's not going to do it, and you're not going to hear it in the school system. In fact, you're going to hear just the opposite on the TV. You're going to hear just the opposite. You're going to hear we're all hate mongers, and we hate people because we disagree. Are you with me? And that's not true. We don't hate anybody. I think there are things that are right. I think 1 and 1 equals 2. I don't think it equals 3. Now, you can get mad if you disagree. If you're insisting on telling me 1 and 1 equals 3, that's your prerogative. That's your right. We got freedom of speech in this country. But don't tell me I have to agree with you. I don't agree with you. 1 and 1 equals 2, and I'm not mad about it. Are you out there? So we're talking about salvation. It's not about, you know, all those things, and we never said that. I've never said that. We don't believe that. The only way to be saved is to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and that's what saves me. Hallelujah. Am I always a perfect person? Of course not. Do I always do everything just right? No, I don't. Sometimes I sin. I had to repent. Are you with me? But I'm getting better at it, and I'm going to keep working at it, and I'm going to keep repenting, and I'm going to keep getting back on my feet. But that doesn't save me. That has to do with my witness and my representation of Jesus. And sometimes I'm not a good representative, and you probably aren't either at times. That's when you need to get on your knees, ask God to forgive you first, and then ask the other person you sin against to forgive you. Because first of all, you sin against God when you don't represent Him right. Are you out there? When you're rude, crude, and indignant. Don't do that. Y'all found 1 John 5? Y'all still love me? Okay, all right. Notice what it says here. Whosoever believes, 1 John 5:1, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Y'all see that? Okay, so you must be born again. That's what Jesus said. Well, how are you born again? Well, you believe on Jesus. That's what we read over there in John 1:12. And right here says the same thing, 1 John 5:1, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the one that was prophesied to come, die for our sins. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. I believe that Jesus is the one. I believe He was the one. Hallelujah. I believe He did come. He did die. I believe He rose again. I believe He conquered hell, death, and the grave and arose victorious. Praise God. I believe He sat down on the right hand of God, the Father in heaven. I believe He was God in the flesh. I believe He was perfect and sinless and never sinned. And I believe He beat the devil at His own game and paid the price for my sin. And He is Lord, and He is Savior, and He is Conqueror, and He is King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what I believe. I believe He was the Messiah to come. He was the manna that came down from heaven and the water came out of the rock. I believe He was the lamb they slayed over and over, year by year. Jesus is my Passover, and He is my first fruits. Hallelujah. He is my all in all. I believe that. And you know, because I believe that, I'm born of God. I've been born again. I'm a whosoever. That's right, exactly right. I am a whosoever, hallelujah. Hey, notice this. Fourth verse, man, this gets good now. Fourth verse says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Oh, I believe I'm a world overcomer. How can I say that? Because I'm born of God. And whoever is born of God overcomes the world. I don't believe I have to give in to sin. I don't believe I have to live in sin. I don't believe I have to be controlled by sin. I don't believe I have to give in to all the stress the world throws at me and all the crises that I'm hit with and all the obstacles that fall into my path. I don't believe that those things can take me under. I don't believe they can steal my peace. I don't believe they can steal my joy. The world didn't give me the joy I got, and the world didn't give me the peace I got. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I got my peace and my joy from heaven, hallelujah. I got it from Jesus, hallelujah. And the world, well, I was born to overcome the world. It is my destiny to overcome it. See, where I struggled before, I don't have to struggle now. Where I couldn't do it before, I can do now because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm saved. Doesn't mean I always do it, but I can. And when I don't, it's because I'm not trusting Him. Ooh, hallelujah. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Are you born of God? Yeah. If you believe in Jesus, you are. Well, the Bible says you overcome the world. Quit letting the world overcome you. Quit letting the world take all your joy and all your peace and ruin your life and get stressed out. And hey, we're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. Amen. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. If you'll just trust God, like R.W. Shambach used to say. He said, you don't have problems. All you need is faith in God. If you just learn to trust Him, just turn it over to Him. Well, I don't know what you're going through. It's different with everybody. I don't know what tragedy you face or crisis you've gone through. Life is full of crisis. This is a fallen world that we live in, and I hate it. And God doesn't like it either. But one thing for sure, whenever things like that do happen, we can come to God. We can get back on our feet. We can go forward. We can go on. We actually still have a bright future. We're going to live forever. Amen? So he says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he, fifth verse, who is he that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's us. Praise God, I'm saved. I've been born again because I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus is the Christ, according to that first verse. I believed on His name, according to John 1:12, we just read a while ago. I've been born again, and I will see and I will enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I've been born again. How about you? Amen. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did. In fact, I'm not any more saved right now than I was in May of 1975. I'm not more saved. I know more. I'm living more better. I'm overcome more sins. I'm not any more saved. I was saved when I was born again in May of 1975. Thank God for that day. In my history, it's the greatest day I ever lived. The greatest thing that ever happened to me. You know, first, of course, would be being born in the earth, I guess. Second, would be marrying Brenda. I don't know why Brenda ever married me. I lied to her like a dog. She didn't know hardly anything I did. She had never married me, never gone out with me. She knew all that. And then the next thing was Chris being born, I guess. And then the greatest thing that ever happened to me was when I accepted Jesus. Woo! Next best thing, I guess, when I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then started having kids. Each one would be another dynamic thing, an event in my life. These are things that I think on when I think of life and think of things that have defined me and made me who I am today. But by far and hands down, bar none, being saved is the greatest thing ever happened or ever will happen to anybody. Don't ever forget it. I never forget that day. And I never think about it that it doesn't bring tears to my eyes. I mean, I can be just as tough as nails. But when I start thinking about when I got saved, just like right now, because it changed everything. Changed my whole future. Changed my marriage. It changed my kids. It changed my grandchildren. This church. Are you with me? Because I got saved. I got born again. I became a new creature. I'm not who I used to be. I'm somebody else now. I've been somebody else since May of 1975. Hallelujah. Praise God.